Thank you, Jesus. Nothing greater than refreshing. And that's what the word tells us. If we come with a heart of repentance in his presence, he will refresh us every time. And man, do we need a refreshing. Living in this corrupted world, we need a refreshing. We're bombarded every single day. We're hard pressed. Oh, what a time to be alive, though. Glory, glory, glory. You know what today is? This is your day. It is the Feast of Pentecost. Today is the Feast of Pentecost. I call it the Day of Fire. Glory. Now, everything revolves around the Feast of the Lord. Now, these are the feasts of the Lord, not man. These are not the feasts of the Jews. This is not the Feast of Israel. These are the Feast of the Lord. So many people look to Israel because God told them to celebrate these feasts, and they recycle. And even after they're fulfilled, they still consistently recycle to every feast is fulfilled. Is everybody with me? Go to Joel 2:28. It's a glorious time right now. This for 2026, because this is a transitional year. We are in great transition of all things passing away and all things become new. In Joel 2:28, is everybody there? Let's speak it together, okay? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on what? All flesh. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. I'm going to give you a new spirit and a new heart. And I'm going to put my spirit in you so you can obey, so that you can overcome the world. Your sons and your daughters shall what? They're going to prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. That's prophetic insight by the Spirit of God. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. Then the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Again, there are seven feasts of the Lord. Everything revolves around the feast. This is God's calendar. It is a prophetic calendar. So many people, so many believers do not know about what's going on. If you don't know about the seven feasts, you will never know God's calendar. Seven means complete. Imperfect. Six means man. There are prophetic numbers that represent. There are symbols. I'm not going to go through them all. I just wanted to bring those two up so you got an idea where we're going here. Amen? So Pentecost means 50. Pente means 50. Now, the first, there are spring feasts. In the spring feast, you have the feast of Passover. In the Passover, Jesus fulfilled the feast of Passover. Why? When he died on the cross. And the blood was shed. He was a sacrificial lamb. Then there's a feast of unleavened bread. Leaven meaning evil. But Jesus, where did he go? He went into hell. And he offered everyone an escape that was willing to follow him. Not everyone followed him. It's called the Feast of... That's when the Feast of No Corruption starts. But then the next feast was the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits is the Feast of what we call Resurrection, or people call Easter. But it's actually First Fruits. It's Resurrection. And that's when Jesus rose from the dead. So you got Jesus hanging on the cross. Jesus goes into hell. Then he rises from the dead. Those three feasts have been fulfilled by Jesus, but we still celebrate them every year. They cycle. Remember, everything will continue to be cycled and celebrated until the final feast. Now, those three feasts, Passover, Unleavened, and First Fruits, are also the three chambers of the tabernacle, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. Is everybody with me? That is the three chambers of the tabernacle, the outer court, amen, the holy place, and the most holy place. Now, Jesus fulfilled these feasts so that you and I can have access to the eternal port, because the tabernacle is the eternal port home. That's where you go when you go home. You go through the eternal port. In John 14:6, boy, I was going to play a lot of fire songs today, but we got Tuesday. We'll be an extension of Pentecost. John 14:6. So everybody there, John 14:6, let's speak it together. John 14:6. And Jesus said to him, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. Those are the three names of the the chambers of the tabernacle. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Outer court, holy place, most holy place. No one comes to the Father except for through me. In other words, they got to go. Jesus is the eternal port. He made way. We are talking about the feast of the Lord is a prophetic calendar. It's God's prophetic calendar. And every believer should know this. And Matthew 27:50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earthquake and the rocks were split. What happened? He opened up the eternal port. Now look at this. And the graves were opened. The graves were opened. Why? Because he went into the earth. He went into hell to release those who were willing to follow him out. But these did not come out. Watch. Okay, and the graves were opened. And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. They weren't alive yet, though. And then coming out of the graves after his resurrection, after First Fruits feast was fulfilled or the resurrection fulfilled, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now, the ones that were that God raised from the dead were those who had died during his ministry on earth. Can you imagine how many people were raised that day? And then went into the cities and witnessed to everybody about Jesus. These are all followers of Jesus that rose from the dead. There was no wicked that rose from the dead. Awesome. Many people say, Graham, you're back. What happened? Access to the eternal portal, ripping the matrix veiling wall. Jesus ripped the matrix veiling wall after his resurrections, and the saints came alive as a witness of who the Christ is. We'll talk more about the Christ. Man, people have no idea. Let's go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, verses 1 through 4. Day of fire, Pentecost. Let's speak it together. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord Not the feast of Israel, not the feast of the Jews, not the feast of Gentiles, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts, says the Lord. Does everybody see that? 6 days six days shall work be done, but the seventh day is Sabbath of the solemn rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord now. Holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. Appointed times. These appointed times have not changed. Actually, the Feast of Passover was Nisan 14. Unleavened bread was Nisan 15. And first fruits was actually Nisan 17. According to the Jewish calendar. So these feasts, the first three feasts, were fulfilled by Jesus. 50 days later, after the resurrection, the first fruits feast, 50 days later, meaning Pente, was known as the Feast of Pentecost. Amen? The fourth feast, known as the Pentecost, is known as also Feast of the Weeks. 50 days after the first first fruits are what we call resurrection. So the day Jesus rose from the dead, 50 days later, was Pentecost. Luke 3:16. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water. This is John the Baptist. But one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and what? Fire. What day was he talking about? Pentecost. Yeah. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Oh, that's a purifying fire. That was a prophetic. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. So that's why I call the day of Pentecost the day of fire. The feast of, because it's about fire. What's God's fire? It's his power. What's God's power? It's his anointing. It was granted to all humans. Acts chapter 2. Everybody there? Verse 1. Let's speak it together, please. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. See, because they were celebrating it, but it hadn't come yet. It fully came because Jesus had to fulfill it. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3. Then there appeared on them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Woohoo! And the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation and under heaven. And when that sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own languages. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our language in which we were born? How many of y'all know God can change your language? You could be on a plane or whatever, and he'll tell you, pray in tongues. You start praying in tongues, and next thing you know, your language changes, and you're speaking to someone over there. You don't even know what you're saying. Oh, hallelujah. Powerful. And how is it that we hear, verse 9, Corinthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, and all the rest of the places. Sheesh. Verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed. Everybody got the point, you know what I'm saying? Saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking, saying, they are full of new wine. They were drunk. They were drunk, but it was by the Spirit. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, the first scripture we spoke today. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and old men dream dreams. And my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great, awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, we've seen blood moons multiple times. That's happened over and over and over. Amen? So this was quoted by Joel about the Feast of Pentecost. And it came to pass. It was fulfilled. Acts 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, Jesus did what? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will this time you restore the kingdom of Israel? He wasn't talking about that. And Jesus said to him, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall what? You shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That was, so again, what did Jesus say? He commanded them. This is the problem in the body of Christ. It is a command to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not an ask. Why? Because you can't be a witness. You can't have power with the power of the Holy Spirit, with fire. You can't. And this is what's so important. We're to seek this, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Every individual has to seek it himself. You have to cry out for it. We have a prayer in a prayer book that asks to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You speak it until it happens. Don't give up on not, it doesn't happen in the first prayer. It will happen. It's a guarantee from God Almighty. And when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're a new creation. Amen. Well, you know, if you've ever met someone, that, you know, I mean, you're a new creation. What do you get? A new language. You get new ways of thinking. You get new ways of seeing. You have power to overcome temptation. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Oh, that's what Pentecost was for me and you. Promise of the power of fire by fire. John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. So let me ask you a certain question here. If it's being preached that it was only for those days, is it truth? No. No, the gifts and the Spirit and the baptism, the Holy Spirit and healing, deliverance is now. Well, it was only for them in those days. That's doctrines of demons. It's not the doctrine from my Father. 1 John chapter 2, is everybody there in verse something? Oh, okay. Verse 18. Let's speak it. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you had heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made what? Manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing. What is the anointing? Make sure you write it down. It is the eternal power, truth, and what else? What? Presence. Amen. It is the eternal power, truth, and presence of God Almighty. That is the anointing. You know where it lives? In fire. It's in the fire. Woohoo! And you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know what? All things. That's the difference of being baptized in the Holy Ghost or not. I've not written you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? What it really is, the Christ. Amen. It's the anointing. It's the anointing of God. God put together a body. He took the word, made a body. See, Jesus' body is not from dust. It's from the word of God. Does everybody understand it? Jesus' body did not come from dust. It came from God Almighty. That's why Mary was impregnant by the Holy Spirit. So she was pregnant with the word of God, the living word of God that carries the eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty, who came into this realm, who paid the price for me and you, see, because he had no sin. How did he get into hell without sin? He took man's sin on. That's how he got to hell, qualified him to go to hell. But he was the Christ, the eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty, in a body that God created out of the word, not out of dust. He walked among humanity. He carried the whole universe in him. He created everything, and he walked around to mankind. Hey, man, what's going on? He acted like a normal person until it was time. Then he paid the price. The Bible says, man, if they would have known it was Jesus, the Christ, they wouldn't have killed him. Why? Because they qualified him to go into hell, taking the sins of mankind on. Oh, but now you know what? The Christ is me and you. We're no longer Jew or Gentile. Well, I'm no longer Italian. I'm Christ. I am a Christ, one of his offsprings. So are you. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are born of Christ. You're no longer human. We're eternal. So when the devil threatens to kill you, you can't kill something that's already dead. I'm dead, man. Amen? Oh, I pray everybody gets this today. Hallelujah! All right, where are we? Is everybody okay? Now, we just talked about, these are the first four feasts. These are the spring feasts, okay? Passover, leaven, amen? First fruits. And Pentecost, which we're celebrating today, aren't we? Amen. Now, Pentecost, these are the spring feasts. Then comes the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets is a time of warning. And that's called the Fall Feast. So in between the spring feast and a fall feast is actually a summertime. That is known as the age of the church. Hallelujah. It is a gap. Let's go to John 16. And we'll party there for a few minutes. John 16, verse 12. I know there's going to be a lot of information today, so don't. You may not figure it all out at one time, but we've repeated this stuff over and over. But I really believe it's important to know this and refresh us with this. John 16, verse 12. Vital. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, they could not comprehend them or interpret them. Why? Because they needed the Holy Spirit to help interpret what he wanted to tell them. However, when he, the Spirit of what? Truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare to you. So you got it all. You got it all. I had a visitation from an angel, and I was in the woods praying, and I was needing money, and the next thing I know, he came as a man, but he had kind of reddish eyes, and I don't know, he was big, and he kept telling me, I got all the money you need. I got all the money you need. I said, well, because I was trying to sell my, I had a 46 stretch limousine. And I wanted to sell it because I didn't have any money. I was just coming out of addiction and so forth. And he kept saying, and he said, he wanted to offer me $10,000 for it. I said, man, I want 30. He said, but I got all the money you need. And after he left, man, did I repent. I wept all the way home. See, at that time, I used to call the Holy Spirit buddy. I'd say, buddy, what's going on? And so this guy was standing there, and he knew my thoughts. And he drove this truck that had backfiring, it had bald tires, and I'm looking at this truck, I'm thinking, how can this guy have $10,000 or $30,000? It's impossible. I'm looking at this, and he goes, I'm going to go get brand new tires right now. I'm thinking, you're going to get brand new? Oh. And I'm thinking, yeah, and he's probably going to go get Kentucky Fried Chicken. And he says, I'm going to go get Kentucky Fried Chicken. I mean, this guy knew exactly what I was thinking. And all of a sudden, people came from everywhere, all around, and it was getting confused there because they were looking at the car. And I wanted to pay attention to this guy. I wanted to work a deal out, you know? And he said, I got to go. He said, I told you I've got all the money you need. I'm thinking, well, why doesn't he offer me $30,000? Because God only had a certain amount he wanted to give. He was testing me. So anyways, I said, well, at least give me your phone number. He gives me his phone number, and he takes off. And I look at the phone. I'm going to go call this guy. So I drive home as quick as possible without a ticket. And I pull into the house, and I go pick up the phone. I'm downloading the number, and I'm looking for the name, and the name was Buddy. Whoa. I was like, of course, there was no answer. 3 days. 3 days it took me to recover from that. The presence of God lifted from me. 3 days I cried out, Lord, forgive me. Oh, I knew he was going to forgive me. Because he loves me. He wouldn't rescue me for just to beat me up, you know. And then he restored me the third day later. How many days did Jesus go? 3 days. And I was resurrected on the third day, restored in the spirit again. He said, Guy, trust me. Trust me. Man, I was ready to give everything away. I didn't care what I had left. Here, take it all. But that's how we have to live. We don't want to hold on to nothing. Everything is just another drag. Something more we got to take care of, you know? Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? So, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Did we read this one yet? Yeah, we did. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, 52. Feast of Trumpets. It's known as the False Feast. That's the next feast that must be fulfilled. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, when the Feast of Trumpets blows, when trumpets blow, it's always about a warning, a gathering, attack, war. That's when a trumpet blows. Again, this is known as the Fall Feast announcement. The Feast of Trumpets. There's the Feast of Trumpets, then the Feast of Atonement, then the Feast of Tabernacle. Those are the last. So we got this feast. These are the last three feasts that Jesus has to fulfill. So the Feast of Trumpets is coming up in fall. Trumpets. Amen. Atonement and Tabernacle. These are three feasts that will be coming up in fall. So in between now, we're in the summertime, aren't we? And 1 Corinthians 15, 52. Is everybody there? Oh, happy days. I'm getting there. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's go verse 50. Let's go to 50. Let's speak it. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. When? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the what? Last trumpet. What's that? It's the feast. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, now, so the New Testament is going to show us about the trumpets. What is the Feast of Trumpets? It's known as the Rapture Day, when the body of Christ is removed from the earth. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the what? Trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. So Jesus is not going to put his feet on the ground yet. He's going to remove the body of Christ. He's going to bring them home to him. Then on the Feast of Tabernacles, during that period of time, he's going to come and fulfill that feast with his army, which will be me and you. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 24. Everybody good? Are you hot? Woohoo. Glory. Matthew 24. And we'll go to verse 31. What does it say? And he will send his angels with a great sound of a what? Trumpet. And they will what? Gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven into the other. So again, when that trumpet sounds, there's a lot of things that are going to be happening. Then you go to Feast of Atonement. Now, from the Feast of Trumpets to the Feast of Atonement is 10 days. It's called the Days of Awe, or called Yom Kippur. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. What does atonement mean? It means a time to repent. You will repent. It's a time of, it's 10 days of people are repenting. God has given, remember you have the Feast of Trumpets, right? Which was blowing the trumpet. It's saying, prepare, prepare, prepare. What? For atonement. 10 days you got an opportunity to repent and get things right. Is everybody there? Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and a true tabernacle which the Lord erected, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if we were on earth, he would not be priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serveth and copy the shadow of the heavenly things, the heavenly tabernacle, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ, is everybody there? Came as what? High priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained an eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, in the Old Testament, when they would, on the Day of Atonement, they would have two goats. The one they would sacrifice and take the sins on, and they would kill it. The other one they would lay hands on, and they would place the sins in this goat. And they would put a red ribbon on the door of the tabernacle, and they would bring that goat out. And when it fell off of the cliff where they would bring it, once it died, the ribbon turned white from red, saying that God had forgiven the sins. because it was the sins of the nations of Israel. That's called the scapegoat. Anybody ever hear that? Well, that's what it is. It's the scapegoat. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to close it. Revelation 21. Now we're talking about tabernacle. The Feast of Tabernacle. Like I said, I'm not going to get fully into all of this. Just we'll skim a little bit here. Revelation 21. Oh, yeah. So what's today? Pentecost. Day of fire. Fire! I can't play my song. Anyways. Verse 1, let's speak it. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying, there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I'll give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderous, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So what's going to happen when Jesus comes and we come return with him? We will reign for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. It's called the Feast of Tabernacle. And people will go up to the tabernacle where God is in worship. And in this thousand-year reign, only God knows exactly what's going to happen during that period of time. But we will have glorified bodies. Why? Because we'll be going back and forth from heaven to here. And a ship ain't going to take you. You're just going to transport. You'll think it, and you're there. Because you'll have a glorified body. No more. No more sin, no more goofy thoughts, no more lust, no more any of that. We'll be, what they say, like angels. Not as angels, but we'll be like angels. We'll have a glorified body. Oh, glory. A few more feasts and we're out of here. Actually, the next feast will be fulfilled and we're out of here. The Feast of Trumpets. And we'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. What? With a brand new glorified body. Restored youth. Hallelujah. I believe everybody will be 33 years old. Jesus died when he was 33, right? You know? Hallelujah. So I believe everybody will be 33 years old, restored youth and health. But we might know each other, but we'll be a little bit, we'll be different. A lot. There's no marriages there. There's no offsprings. There's nothing like that there. We are eternal beings. Then after the 1,000 years, God's going to roll it all up. And we're going to start brand new. Because why? We just went through the whole training course. That's all this place is a training course. Into the new reality that God's going to create. And he's trained everybody up to know how to rule and to know how to take care of things. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed, and we celebrate this day, Lord. We celebrate this day as a feast of Pentecost. So, Lord, continue to release your fire in each and every one. Burn the garbage out and bring the good in. Your presence, your glory, your power, your truth, and increase the anointing in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.